Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reckoning My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I'm your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Or you can go to www.reconnectmyheartpodcast. You can see the video version of Reconnect My Heart. Also, you can be able to chat and interact with us. I'm happy to be here today for this special episode. So on today, we'll have a very special guest. She's a smart, talented, and beautiful young lady that so happened to be my cousin. She's going to be here to talk to us and the conversation that I'll share with y'all about how I birthed it. But we're going to have a conversation about love, dating, and much more in the episode called Conversation with Cuz About Love. So I want to introduce to some and present to others our very own, my cousin, my beautiful cousin I've known all my life. She is the one and only Miss Letitia Wade Jones. How you doing today?
Ooh, doing well. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's my honor. First of all, she is my first cousin. My mom and her mother are sisters, so we are very, very closely related. But also, she's not just my cousin, my first cousin, whatever. But besides that, she is my friend. She is someone that I look up to and always in my, and also even with her mom and her dad and her brothers, James and Cardell. How y'all doing, man?
Yes.
I have to say I'm honored to be able to see you. And we don't get a chance to see each other as family because sometimes we come from a big family. We get busy. But one thing about it is always constant about our family is the love. It's genuine. Yeah. And Ashley, you're the reason why this episode exists because you had a conversation with one of your coworkers, and they asked you a question, and it was about the excuses for not getting married.
Yeah.
Now,
even
when he came to you about that, first of all, what was the first thing that was on your mind when he came to you with that?
It was, he just kind of caught me off guard with that, you know. Okay, so first off, he's not a coworker. He's basically kind of like a friend slash vendor, such and such like that, right? So he and I, we have a really good relationship. We talk about business all the time because he's part of a business area that I do need, and he provides that. So it just really caught me off guard when we were discussing that that morning because there was so many other different things going on. And I'm thinking that since he's my elder, he was going to give me a different answer, a different response other than what he gave me. And when I asked him and I said, you know, why are you not married? And it just blew my mind, his response. And he mentioned to me, he said, well, what's the purpose, what's the need when women are giving men everything that they want anyway? So what's a piece of paper? And so I asked him, I said, well, what about your covenant? Don't you want a covenant? You're not covenant. And he just completely ignored that. You know, he just went on to say that he didn't feel the need to get married because women nowadays are providing men everything that they need. From the bedroom to the back door to the front door and everything in between.
Hmm.
So I was kind of blown away.
And I think when we talked about that, because of our background, and I wanted to make sure that I emphasize this because our background may be a little unique than others because our family, first of all, we grew up in church. Like I said earlier, we were drugged to church. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and not just church, but also the dynamics of marriage, relationship within our family, and us coming from a big family, and then also our cousins, all of our cousins, we all have some type of relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. And then also, as far as the men being the male cousins, we always looked out over the female cousins. You know?
Right.
So even though some family members, they may not have the kind of the dynamic, but as far as us and like I was saying, like with you, you were more than just, oh, that's your cousin. No, we grew up like brothers and sisters. And So when I heard that, I was listening from my standpoint, but also I was listening from your standpoint because I'm like, that sounds weird.
Right. I remember when I pitched that to you, you gave me a pause, but immediately you just went straight into action because I remember you saying, oh, the prayers that he thinks that he's praying or if you're in a relationship, and you guys are shacking or whatever, you know, the prayers that you think are reaching heaven, they're not even going anywhere past that doorstep. And I'm like, wow, okay. Yeah, it was just amazing, you know, to hear your response. But I was just shocked. I was shocked to hear that. You know, it actually really hurt my heart because of our background. We were not raised like that. You know, we saw nothing but husband and wife, period. That's it. you know, and to hear, you know, he saying that, you know, that's pretty much the new norm. It's not my norm. No.
Right.
I don't think so.
I think because we were blessed with the foundation of having God in our life and not just going to church, but also we seeing it. If it wasn't in, let's just say, if it wasn't in this person, it was in that person. So, you know, Christ was filtrated within our family.
Yes.
And then
mm-hmm.
also chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I look at your brothers. I look at our uncles. You know,
mm-hmm.
it was like that work ethic, not just as far as labor pertaining to a job, but being able to, you know, work for that relationship, to love, protecting your
right.
family, providing for your family.
Right.
And
right.
I began to think, when you posed that, you know, that question to me, I was like, but look at, he's going to be working for nothing. It's like he's going to be working
yeah.
all day. When it comes down to payday, he's going to have nothing, no spiritual
right.
covering. He won't have any type of even legal type
mm-hmm.
of covering where he's supposed to be having this wife, but he have it only in his mind and not on paper. And if something happened to him,
mm-hmm.
she has no legal right to what he worked
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Exactly. And that even go about the legacy. Remember, we were discussing the legacy. Like, what are you doing to your legacy at this point? You know, you're burying it, basically. Because you're now putting your legacy in the hands of someone that's not covered by God in his relationship. He doesn't see it. You're unequally yoked. So what do you expect? It's just going to be a generation passed down if that's something that you decide to do or not. But according to him, I think he feels like he hasn't had any kids at this point where he's not worried about that. But I'm like, but what about your soul? Because there's a thing called soul ties.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people do not believe. They think it's witchcraft. I'm like, no, read your Bible. It's in there.
Yeah.
So that was a big concern.
Yes, and also, you know, just looking at, you don't have any type of guarantee from this young lady. And also
mm-hmm.
that young lady don't have any type of guarantee from you. So in
other
Correct. Words, do you love her enough to give her the commitment of allowing her to walk down the aisle, you know,
mm-hmm.
that to some young ladies, if you really listen to them, that is a desire of theirs. Walk down the aisle,
yeah.
you know, you hear a young lady and I mean, hear a young girl and you hear about her wedding day. And one
yeah.
thing I always say, a girl grows to prepare herself for her wedding. But the boy
mm-hmm.
grows to prepare for the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Correct.
Think we as men, and like I said, our upbringing and stuff, we believe in doing that, providing for our young ladies
mm-hmm.
and also even for us as the male cousins to try to be the example to our
right.
female cousins or sisters and stuff.
Right.
And of course, vice versa. I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a time where I spoke to you about a girl I was interested in. I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in
yeah.
middle school or high school. And,
right.
and just being able to listen. And I think
mm-hmm.
if we listen to some of these conversations, we can be able to help our loved ones to avoid some
yes.
bad relationships or some toxic relationships.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Because even when you mentioned about walking down the aisle, carrying the last name, she'll never have his last name. But you can continue to insert yourself into my glory.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't carry your last name. No, there's a division. There's a division of separation. I'm sorry, sir, ma'am. You know, it's separation there. Totally.
You know what? That's something, you know, when you really look at it, a guy is telling you, you know what? I want to have my cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he pretty much saying. And
yes,
for a young lady to even entertain that, you're doing yourself a disservice. And I think if a young lady actually hears that, if he's telling you that he does not want to make a commitment with you, then how in the world would you serve a committable God, but you think that God gonna give you an uncommittable mate?
Correct, correct. And I'm thinking God is just not in the relationships, period. I don't think it's a factor. I think he probably feels like that he knows there's a God, but he can continue to do and operate in what he wants to do in his own world. And then now you have other women that's getting on board wanting to do the same thing. But like I told him, there's a such thing called feelings, emotions. Someone's going to get attached. Next thing you know, you're looking outside and you're seeing someone driving by your house. Okay, so I see you have someone else there. Now you have a stalker, a potential stalker, right? And so I'm like, eventually some feelings are going to, something's going to happen. Oops, I'm pregnant now, or whatever the case may be. She's going to get what she wants, period. It's going to happen one way or the other. It could go left, it could go right. It's going to happen, you know. It can turn into a police report, or or, you know, it can continue to stay on that same path. But eventually, the feelings are going to start to come intact. And then now, you know, you could hear something. Oh, well, you know, I never thought that I was going to probably get married, but since we've been in this relationship so long, but now you've gathered and brought in so many other different obstacles in your relationship. Had you avoided that, you probably wouldn't have had to deal with all of this now. Now we're dealing with all this craziness coming one.
Come on. I have you on the video. I lost you on the audio. If you're able to call back, on the audio version, the number, let me see. Get you on one more time. Yeah. If you can call one more time. For those that are with me live, you can bear with me. That dirty devil dropped the call, but she's gonna come right back on. Matter of fact, I'll continue to speak while she's chiming in. But you know, it's so important, especially as looking at this as family. You know, we have a huge responsibility to protect. There it is. Okay, good. There she is. Okay. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Please continue.
Okay. Okay. I lost my train of thought. Let me get a sip of tea. Where were we?
Okay. I tell you what. One of the things I was sharing, even the importance of this episode, where we are our brothers and sisters' keeper, and we have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the people within the family, they don't understand the role that each one of us play. And like I said, us boys in the family, we love our female cousins. You know, each one of you all are important and play a huge part of our lives. So I know if something happened where you involved, look here, they ain't just got to worry about your brothers. They got to think about me, Melvin,
correct,
Jerry, Tim,
correct,
Vinny. It's so many of us, you know.
Yes,
and
yes,
so
correct.
I think with us, I think just the way we grew up, and this is something I've heard from I've had some conversations with my, not just my brothers, but with my cousins, my first cousins. that are mm-hmm. also related to you, our responsibility is to be an example to you, to our other female cousins, what type of men that you all need in your life. And, you know, sometimes it's good to have someone of the opposite sex to be your friend mm-hmm. and tell you, you know, tell you some advice or whatever. But sometimes that advice can be biased.
Yeah.
But when it comes
yeah.
down to family, oh, look here.
Mm-hmm.
We have your best interest at heart, and we want to make sure that this person jail within the family unit. And then, of course,
correct.
Vice versa. If we have a young lady that we're interested in, oh, they're going to meet you. They're going to meet media. They're going to meet, you know, the rest of my female
correct.
Cousins to make sure, hey, you know, how is, you know, I want you to see, because sometimes us as guys, we could be blinded
mm-hmm.
pertaining to
right.
the young lady. And also vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you all looking at, now they can't fool me. You know, a guy can't fool another guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A girl can't
right.
fool another girl. And so
correct.
With that responsibility that we have to cover our cousins, cover them
mm-hmm.
just like the, you know, y'all being my sisters. It is our
mm-hmm.
responsibility to make sure that someone is going to take care of you and we won't have
mm-hmm.
to worry about. It's not just, you know, your father's responsibility to show
right.
you an example. No, it's all about responsibility.
Right, right, right. We have a chain of accountability partners. And I
mm-hmm.
believe that that's exactly what we're missing nowadays, because it's just like a friend is going to tell you how a friend feels from a friend's aspect. I've had that to happen. And on two occasions, I said to myself later, should have never listened to her. But had I went to the family and started asking the family, especially my male family members, okay, hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, then I probably could have saved myself a lot of pain. But yet still, I took the advice of a woman who's not a man, basically, because a woman, we can give each other advices about men, but at the end of the day, we're not a man. So we don't know how, you know, men kind of do particular things or something that they may say, and it would probably just go over our head. But then if we mention that to you guys, you're like, wait a minute. Okay, now he meant XYZ when he said that. Hold up. You know, so I agree. I totally agree. Like having that person that you can go to, especially being in your family, that you know that not only going to give you good advice, but he's going to give you some godly advice too. He's going to bring you back to where you need to be, help you cool your boots off. no matter how you may be feeling, okay, cuz I know how you feel, but let me just like put you on ice for a second, okay? Yes, and so that is so good to have, because we just recently had a conversation, and I love when you say, okay, wait a minute, that baby joker, okay, hold on. And I'd be daggone if you were not on point.
Hmm.
I said, really? Okay. Nope, shade down, not going to happen. Next. Okay.
Yeah. And you know what? I can say, I think in our family, they said, as far as from what I've seen, the guys have set the standard as far as our uncles and stuff. They set the bar
yeah.
for us.
Right.
But then
mm-hmm.
also when I look at the young ladies in the family, that's coming from
mm-hmm.
my cousins as well as the aunts. Even grandmama, she
yes.
set the bar.
High.
Very, very.
These women in this family can cook. And
mm-hmm,
the man,
mm-hmm.
period. So the bar and the house is clean from top to bottom. Set the bar very high. Bible on point right there.
Yeah.
Not far away from us. Yeah. Very
yeah.
good examples. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like I said, it is so, first of all, to us, it's the norm. It's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
But to other people, it might be so far-fetched. And
right.
that's what makes us be more responsible in who we choose to date, who we choose to consider, allowing our number, our time to be with. Because there are some that could be jealous of the relationship that you have with your siblings, the relationship you have with your family. And it's normal to you.
Facts.
But it could be abnormal to them.
Right. Right, right. I totally agree with that 1,000%. Because, like you said, I don't think that they saw that. So not to say that every relationship we've been in, because we got a past. God knows I do. Okay, I should have went back and said, okay, let me rewind on that. But now that you know, you move forward with that. You know, but you're right, you know, and in a lot of occasions, because they were not raised that, you know, this particular guy that we were talking about, he probably was not raised that way. Or maybe he was, and he just went the opposite way because he could have gotten hurt before in the past. You know, but I think that once you get back to that foundation, and thank God for the foundation that was set before us, because all of our uncles, like, we didn't see single uncles and aunts walking around. They were attached to the hip and still to this day.
Yes.
Same wife.
Yes. Yes.
Same husband. And so we also agree that our uncles married some powerful women.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We can go over there to the house, and they didn't treat us as, well, this little nephew. No, they treated us like we were their kids.
Yes.
Any one of them.
To this day.
Yes.
To this day. They still make you feel like you're going to get a spanking in. Where you been? What you been doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I love it. I love it. The foundation.
Yeah. And I remember each one of my aunts, I remember talking to each one of them, and I remember even my cousins and stuff, I remember talking to them about different relationships or possibilities of relationships I was considering. And the main thing they always told me was, baby, pray. Pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Each one of them, pray. You know, see how they are. See how they interact with their family. You know, make sure that they go to church. And this was something that we grew up listening to, you know.
Right. And I think part of the problem, I know for me, part of the problem is I was trying to fit a square in a peg hole. When they were saying pray, I'm like, but his grandmother goes to church. I mean, clearly and surely he has to be okay. He's right.
Right.
And it's
right.
Like, no, run, Sally, run. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you try to make that dynamic fit, but that's still not it. Still not it. And it's like, pray. Okay, I've done that. I've asked. And sometimes even with praying, it's like, okay, Lord, I think you're taking a little bit too long. I'm going to go ahead and get ahead of you.
Yeah.
Because I think this is what you want me to do. Right?
Yeah.
This is God over here. Mm-mm. Not God. Mm-mm. No, sugar, that's you. That's all you. That's all flesh. All
in
there.
Yeah. But God, they did go to a church. They were, even though it was a funeral, but they was at church, you know.
Right. Yes, I remember telling my mama that one time before when we lived in Peoria. I said, he go to church? And she looked at me like, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to come back with it now. Okay. But that church did kind of catch her attention just to snap, but he didn't make it through the door. Not why she
my.
Was there.
You know what? I had somebody talk to me some time ago. And I think because of the heart that we have, that's another thing. Sometimes, yes, we grew up in church. Yes, we come from a strong family unit and stuff. But sometimes, because of our heart, we love so hard. Sometimes we feel like, I felt like my love could have changed them for them to be able to do right. Even going to church, get to church. You ain't never experienced nothing like that, have you?
Right. Oh, absolutely. I'm going to love you past your pain. I am determined to do that for you. I'm the fixer. Okay, I'm what you call the cleanup woman, okay?
Yeah.
I'm the fixer.
Yeah.
I'm here
yeah.
to bring you, usher you into who you supposed to be. Got it. No, wrong.
Yeah.
Check that one off again. Okay, watching, we standing side by side, clapping. Oh, yes, anointing is wrong. No, wrong. Because God see you. I may not see your camouflage, but God sees you.
Mm.
He totally sees what I do not see. That's what it is. You know, and I recently had a conversation with someone. We were talking, and he was sharing with me. He said that, she said that he doesn't know who she is. And I was like, wow, I've heard that before too. And his comeback was, I fell in love with who you showed me you were. I was like, wow, good one.
Yeah,
good one.
Yeah.
Now, if that person was alive, that's who you showed me, and that's who I fell in love with.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, good answer. I like that comeback. I like that because I know sometimes the Tweety Birds go around my head. I'm like, well, I do know you. Now you like your favorite color is and blah, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when a person show you who they are, 9 times out of 10, you know, it could be a representative. You just never know. In church with a tambourine, representative the whole time. After the church is over, you want to go get a bite to eat? You know, and then blase. And then next thing you know, we didn't just got finished praising the Lord, and you over there, Father, please forgive me for my sins. I just...
yeah.
Please forgive me, Lord.
Amen lights.
Right.
Yeah. Sheila used to say,
right.
Well, I'm still under construction, so excuse my dust.
I love that. Excuse my dust.
You know what? Matter of fact, she used to show me because my family used to say I was the naive one, but I remember her showing me some inboxes from some ministers, not just ministers, but married ministers. And stuff that was, hey,
how about
we go out for lunch and all this other. She said, oh, that sounds good, but you make sure you bring your wife. that's okay. And I'm like, see,
yeah.
Like I said, we're not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't used
mm-hmm.
to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church, the family that we saw, and like I said, when they say they love God, they love God with all their heart. And
right. They
and I'm not being funny, but like I said, us come from a big family where some of our uncles and aunts that had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kids, they ain't had time to be stepping out. They had to work.
Exactly. When we see them, they was either going to work or coming from work. But all of that other buffoonery in between, no. And see, I know that was a shock for Sheila because that's a man of a cloth. And
right,
now he's
right,
in your,
right.
He's trying to get in your inbox, okay?
Yeah,
at the end of the day,
yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. And it's a shock because we looked at people in the pulpit totally different. And
yeah.
to find out that all of that is going on behind the scenes is like, okay now, cut, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm still learning about people. And I know I watch
you.
And I listen. Matter of fact, even just, I said earlier, shout out to James and Cardale, but listening to Cardale and you know him playing with Maddie Moss Clark and all of that, and even though y'all were over there in Peoria, but that foundation of God was still
right there,
you know, and now us us looking at what you bring into the table. We have to be aware of what we bring into the table when it comes down to looking for a mate. Because to you, you might just look at yourself and, oh, well, I'm Tisha. But if you look at the total package of what you bring into the table, it's a lot of value, and it can't be jeopardized. It can't be wasted.
Right.
And vice versa. Now, like I said, I'm not saying that, you know, we're better than anybody, anything like that, but each person should take inventory of what they bring into the table. And whatever they bring into the table, you have to make sure that the person that you're choosing to date will not only respect what you bring to the table, but also be willing to invest for it to multiply at the table.
Exactly, exactly. Know your value at the end of the day. Know your value, because you cannot let someone else determine your value. So as you're bringing that package to the table, you know, you're also bringing, okay, well, I have XYZ, XYZ, and then some. So now you guys can sit down and share a full course meal instead of a snack, basically. Basically, it would be a complete snack. Yeah, so I totally agree with what you're saying.
You know, it's really important. It's really important for us, once we're able to be aware of what we bring into the table, and then be responsible enough to accept if they're not the right one for us, and that's for male or female, if they're not the right one for us, give them the grace enough to respectfully pursue someone that they're better suited for.
I agree. I agree. I totally agree. And, you know, that can be kind of hard within itself.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting there thinking, like, okay, what can I do better? Or maybe it's something I need to do, you know, besides leave. Maybe I need to just stay and try to be that woman or that man. But a lot of times, you know, that's not who God has for us, you know. And I strongly believe, you know, if you pray and ask God who your husband or your wife is, he will show you, but you have to be more detailed.
Yeah.
Because he'll show you. But you may be sitting over there waiting for years, and so many other things could, you know, can transpire. So especially nowadays with everything going on, we need to be with the person that has been designed for us, because the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. And I don't think that, you know, the club is about to get ready closed permanently in a minute, okay? So it's just like you got to have more than all your ducks in a row. So I really think that, you know, the more that we can all commune up with our mate, because two can chase 10,000, right? That is a number, okay? Right.
Right.
So, you know, the more of us that can group up and be in alignment with the person that we're supposed to be with, the better chance that we have to be head in that path, in that direction that God has for us. The more that we continue to, male and female, close the door, you know, nope, I'm not interested. So where they're going to go at that point, if all they're getting is no, 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 they're going to have to return back and then, you know, to who they're with, or basically deal with the man in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a great responsibility, and like I said, we can't take it lightly, because if you look at, we really about to receive the torch from our uncles, our aunts, our parents, because they were our example. And if you look at it, we're at the age now where they were at when they were making a huge impact on us.
Yeah.
And so now my question is, are we making that impact to those that are below us like they did with us? Because them bringing all them kids to church on time, and I have
on
one
time,
son.
That part.
And I'd be late. You know, mama used to, you know, cook the dinner for Sunday morning, for Sunday. She used to fix it on Saturday night. She used to have me and Sheila doing our hair, parting, scratching and greasing it, doing all. And she had five kids, and we all went to church, yes. Sunday school, regular church service, and then BTU Sunday night. And I got one child, and I have a hard time making it to Sunday school on time. You know, but
right.
That's what we grew up with.
Right. And you know what? I think that from my experience, from what I've been seeing, I feel like it's still there because, of course, you know, I'm here in California. So I get a chance to see a lot of the dynamics of families, like two-parent households, you know, which, you know, that's missing. I think that that's missing a lot as well, you know, because it's like you said, it's hard to do that by yourself. And when you have someone that can be able to, okay, make sure you go in there and they have everything done the night before, you guys get pretty much tag team, you know, on that note. So I really see the importance of having a two-family household at this point because you can get a lot better. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to get the bottles ready. Okay, I'm going to get ready to make, you know, get the baby ready and do X, Y, Z. And at the end of the day, you guys can collectively get ready, go to church as a family, hopefully on time, and serve the Lord, you know, but, you know, because I did it the hard way as a single parent, you know, and Lord knows somebody was getting it in the morning because they were not ready, you know, but hopefully we can get back to that and get them in that direction so that they won't have to experience, you know, the things that some of us have had to experience. And like you said, we were there on time. And God forbid somebody was outside blowing the horn and had to wait on you.
Oh, no. You get left or and get a whooping and then make it to church. And then they're going to testify and say why they late for church.
Exactly. Right. They're going to talk about you up there. You still know, still nodding from the whooping. They did not play that, and you're not about to get any love from the elders either. You should have listened to your mama. You should have did what your dad
did.
Yeah. Period. And I love that foundation. Love that. That is such a beautiful foundation.
I was matter of fact, I have somebody on the online now. I'm gonna put them on, but before I do have to say this. And this even, like I said, we talking about not just dating and courting, but the responsibilities that family have with each other. You know, like I said, we are our brothers and sisters, keepers and stuff. And that unit, it helps us to choose better. And one of the things, you know, like I said, from our growing up, what we've seen, we have Christ in our life, and we've served the Lord, and, you know, we've grew up in church, all these things, as well as having that family unit. But if you choose to not have someone, or you choose to have someone that's the opposite of that, and you are a child of God, then God being your spiritual father, and if you choose to get someone that's not saved or someone that does not have that relationship with Christ like you do, that's going to be a struggle. And then, like I said, if they're not having God as their spiritual father and the devil is their spiritual father, then that means that you're going to have Satan as your spiritual father-in-law.
Exactly. And that's tough, like you said. That's really tough. You know, it's, you got to get down to the dynamics. Order is what it is, because if the husband or the wife feels like they come before God, okay, we are ready to start off bad. Because God bows to no one. When he says to get your house in order, that's exactly what he meant. You wasn't telling him to get his house in order. He told you to get your house in order, which he is the head of the house. Period. And then everything else falls there. You know, so sometimes people don't understand that. They don't understand
I'm going to do this. There's a person online, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to add them on. They may or may not say anything at the moment, but this is someone that I know for a fact can have some input. And it just so happened, not only do I know her, I love her, but it's somebody I think you know too. This young lady, her parents are, they've been married for 60, if I'm not mistaken, 65 years.
Oh,
this person, she was just like you and I. She was drugged to church as often as we were, if not more. And she is the granddaughter of Miss Letitia Logan. I have Tanya Media on this phone right now. How you doing today, ma'am?
Hey, cousin.
I'm doing good. How are you all?
We're doing well. Good. Glad you're here. Enjoy what I'm hearing thus far.
All right.
You know, it was and I can say for those who don't know, these two young ladies are my first cousins, and especially I couldn't wait for her to be on so I could put her in, because even just seeing her now, we, like I said, we all grew up together, and then also we worked together at the grocery store and then at the county and all that stuff. And for us to be able to see not just her, but even her sisters and stuff, when we hear about they finna get married, when we hear about a female relative of ours, especially someone that we've known, when we hear about somebody finna get married or somebody dating, we checking out. Now, we may not make it obvious to you all, but we want to check them out, because the hard part as a guy that we have to see is someone that we love that's hurt, especially someone that's related to us. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, and I know me, I know I look at, she in that kind of relationship, and it's not healthy. Okay, did I fail as a family member? Did I fail? Am I showing them that example? You know, even I was looking at one thing I always said, even with my sister, I said, well, it's not just my daddy's responsibility to be an example to my sister. It's myself, it's my other brothers, it was our uncles, it was our first cousins, and all that. So, and even, like I said, vice versa. So, we look at my female cousin. I'm going to say it, I may be biased in saying this, but I have some beautiful, some gifted, anointed cousins, female cousins as well as male cousins. And like you said, just about each one of y'all that I've known. Now, as far as the second cousins and all that stuff, I may not know them as much as my first cousins, but each one of y'all know how to cook. Each one of y'all know how to take care of y'all man.
Right.
Amen. Life.
I love that part.
So y'all coming to the table with something, and I don't want y'all to come to the table with plenty, and that rascal, that knock-kneed, snot-nosed, ass ankle rascal coming to the table with nothing. The devil is alive.
Right.
Shoot.
Yes, yes.
That'll make a preacher want to tackle somebody. Shoot.
Yes, you're right about that. You're so right about that.
Yeah, so, but especially, her name is Tanya. Now, us being family, we have our nicknames and stuff. But I remember Tanya told me years ago when I was in this relationship, and I never thought about it, but I had told her, you know, what I was experiencing in the relationship, and it sounds so simple, but she said, well, you know, you have to think about what if she wasn't raised that way. And I was like, really? like I said, I'm used to going to church on Sunday mornings. I'm used to, well, you know, having somebody messing with their heart. We didn't grow up with the idea of purposely hurting someone or mistreating someone or whatever like that. You know, that was that was out of the norm. But if you look at other family members or other families, they did not have that same upbringing we had. I always think about, like, the TV show The Monster, and each one of those family members of the monsters, they were actual monsters, except for Marilyn. The niece Marilyn was a beautiful young lady, but to the family, she was ugly, and to herself, she was ugly. And so if she met somebody outside of the house, that maybe in school or whatever, and she brought them to the house for her, for them to meet her family, they might be thinking, oh, she has a beautiful family such as herself. But when she, but when they realize, oh, her family monsters, they break out running. And so what I realized, sometimes if we are, if you want to say normal, our normal function as a family, if they didn't have that same upbringing as us, then our norm would be their abnormality. And that, it would be chaotic, you know. But if we were crazy, acting crazy, fighting all the time, and we end up hooking up with someone that fight all the time, oh, then that'll be normal. So us being able to realize that you have to be equally yoked, and it's not just equally yoked pertaining to compatibility with faith. It's compatibility with morals, with character, with values, and all of that. So whatever y'all want to share, because look here, y'all are, I look at y'all too are the cream of the crop. And whatever y'all want to impart and share, y'all welcome to at this time.
Well, I was going to ask Cousin Tanya, like, that was such a wise, wise question. Well, remark that she said to you about that, about the young lady. And I was going to ask her, like, Cousin, like, where'd you dig that up from? Because that was profound.
Yeah. You know, it's just sometimes we have a tendency, you know what, I just have to put it on the grace of God and his wisdom, because a lot of times we do things and we see things and we, because we grew up the way that we did, we assume everybody else did the same thing. And plus working in the field that we work in, we see so many people who do things that are just so different from the way we were brought up to do things. And so for, you know, a lot of times we just assume people think the same way we do, love the same way that we do, have the same morals, have the same values, have a fulfillment in Christ and in the church the way we have. And a lot of people just don't have that. And so, you know, when he was talking about, you know, his friend and how she did this and that, and I was like, that is not what we do. We do not behave like that. We do not react like that. And so it's extremely important, I think, that equally yoked, a lot of times we think equally yoked, you all have said it a few times, about being equally yoked. Yes, it's not just about being equally yoked within the church. You have to be equally yoked within your daily life and your beliefs and your interaction, because you can be equally yoked, you think, in somebody that's of Christ, is in Christ, and again, they only see what you, what they want you to see. But if you dig a little bit deeper into that, you'll be able to, God will reveal to you, this person really not who they portray to be or who they want you to see themselves as being. So, yeah, it was just, you know, God's wisdom, his knowledge, his time, and just dealing with life situations and dealing with different people and just actually not just speaking to them but listening to them and then listening to them and be able to determine. That's not my norm. And so we there must be something different in the way that, you know, you think, you perceive, you were raised. And not to put that down, because people do the best that they can. And and that's what we're here to help and to give advice, sound advice, godly advice. We just, you know, show them, help them to see that there is something different and there are other things, other ways in dealing with situations and being involved with people. And just like we think certain things are strange, people look at us and think that we are completely confused. You know, y'all really can't like each other like that. Y'all really don't love each other like that. Y'all not really connected like that. And yes, we really are. We may not have seen each other for 2-3 months, 2 years, but when you see us, we all, they're huddled up together and ready to go, just like we just saw each other yesterday. That insight and that wisdom comes completely from the Lord God above. And I'm just grateful, you know, for our upbringing and being able for him to show me and being able to be, you know, open to what he's saying and not to what I want. And, you know, sometimes we push things because we want him to go. We want him to wait. We think, you know, God, I asked you about that and I prayed about that, but maybe that's not really what you meant. Let me try this over here. But, you know, but if we just take our time and just really allow him to do, you know, what we've asked and to show us and lead us and guide us, you know, we won't ever go wrong in situations like that.
Amen.
That's our cousin. That's our cousin right there.
right there. Okay.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny, like you were saying, this is normal for us. You know, and I remember some time ago, I mentioned sometime on some previous episodes, but I remember Sheila used to tell the person that she was dating, you know, throughout the years, well, let me call you back. I'm going to have to call my brother. Which one? Which one do you think? What's wrong with him? Is he crazy? Is he slow or something? She said, no. I love him, you know, but that was the norm. And so, as a matter of fact, I remember even there were times where I would either be on the phone with Tanya or whatever, and we would talk. But to some people, what are y'all talking about? Oh, never talk about it, because there was no barrier on our conversation. It's just like you and I, if somebody asks us, what did we talk about the other day? Now, we may share bits and pieces, but we don't have to have a reason to talk on the call because of our upbringing. We grew up loving each other. And so we have to be conscious that not everybody have that same dynamic, you know, and not everybody is willing to be able to even not just either respect that dynamic that we have with our family, but also even be able to create the same things with a potential startup family. You know, if I'm married and she just want to just lock herself in the bedroom all day, watch TV and don't want to go out, don't want to be with her husband, don't deal with her family or whatever, I'm going to have to look and see what's wrong with that picture. First of all, I need to know before we get married. You know, and vice versa, because, you know, when it is time for, you know, y'all to potentially get married, start dating or whatever, we're going to ask for the resume. We're going to ask. And after we look, I get it, we'll have to pass it down to the other brothers, other cousins. We're going to make sure that each one of them stamp. If there's a stamp missing, then we may have to have a little conversation.
Right. I love that. Accountability all the way down the line.
All the way.
And that's what family is about. That's what That's what the family unit, the family structure is about. If we, the origin of family, like I said, we're not saying, oh, well, they're not good enough for, no, because of our family and us being rooted in God, we have to understand, and this is something that I have to learn, and by y'all being my sister cousins, I need y'all to help me with this too. Y'all my accountability for I'm on this. Because some of them that I encounter that are females, some of y'all that y'all may encounter as with men, everybody ain't date material. They might be ministry material. And I realized sometimes because of the anointing that's in our family, God may entrust us with the appearance of someone for them to be introduced to someone that may mentor them. But sometimes because we see the potential, the potential in them, we think we met a mate, and it might be we met a ministry.
Exactly.
And we end up allowing ourselves to get hurt. And I said this some time ago. I found that it's because of our hearts, sometimes we love the ones that don't love us, but we refuse the ones that love us. And we wonder why that rejection is so high, because we don't pursue the ones that love us. We pursue the ones that we love.
I agree.
You say ouch. Look here, I say ouch, I say rats.
Right, I was going to say, okay, because, you know, the toes stepping, ouch, wait a minute, my toes hurt.
You know, those that heard me speak, I always throw myself under the bus. I don't mind, because I want me throwing myself under the bus to help somebody. But I was that one, I mentioned earlier this week, I was the one, if I met somebody Saturday morning, if I met them and I spend the day with them and I'm honest with them, I feel like they're going to be honest with me, because I'm assuming, because I'm not lying to them. And if I'm not lying to them, I felt like, me being naive, I felt like they wouldn't lie to me because I'm not lying to them. So I'm with them all day Saturday. And so when Sunday morning comes, I would ask them, hey, do you want to be in a relationship? Or, hey, do you want to get married? Hey, let's get married. Because I'm thinking, you know, hey, we're going to be honest, and I like what I see. But I realized during that time, I didn't understand the responsibility of observing that potential mate, because even though they have potential, not everybody going to measure up to their potential. Not everybody's potential going to become their reality. And it's not our responsibility to groom someone that was not assigned to us.
Exactly. You know, because as we had a conversation before, I was telling, remember I mentioned to you, the anointing is attractive. It's a very attractive. And being that we all have that background, we necessarily didn't have to be in a pulpit to get it. It was passed on to us. And so when people see us, a lot of times that's what they see, you know, and then they think that they're drawn to us for this particular reason. But sometimes on that end, it's an anointing that they've gotten drawn to, right? And that person could very well may be the wrong person for us, but yet still, you know, they're drawn to the light that, you know, that's within us. And a lot of times, you know, we don't even see the light. We're just going on every day about our business and blah, 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 thinking that, okay, here's this friendly person coming. Oh, they're just being nice. But here comes the motive. They have an ulterior motive. It's coming with it, right? And we can be naive to that a lot of times. I know, you know, speaking for myself, but now that the light is clearly on, I see you. I see you, sir. Okay, ma'am. Okay, I see you. And you're right, because especially, you know, you being front and center on stage, you know, as much as you are, women are just going to throw themselves at you. They're going to say and do what they think that you want to hear. And basically, if they're representative once again, and they may even start trying to invest in you, you know, oh, let me bake you this, or let me take you here, let me take you there. But no, clearly it says a man who finds a wife. So you don't need her to pull up to you, because you'll see her coming. You'll see her coming. And a lot of times what we do is, as having that anointing in our family, we turn our discernment off when it comes to certain people and look just like, ooh, child.
Ouch. Ouch. Let me take a pause.
Okay. Okay, no, we going to Fantasy Island Land. Like, that is not what I felt. That is just me. I'm paranoid. We just ignoring all the signs. And the flags are just flying red, and we just like, no. So, yeah, we do miss it. We do miss it at the end of the day. But, like, pulling it back, like you said, you know, you can, for instance, you and I were having a conversation and I was telling you about, you know, someone, and then you stop it instantly. Oh, no, that baby joker didn't. You immediately seen it. And I was like, but it's just a friend. And you're like, no. You will not be bringing all of that reminiscing and, you know, into this sector to try to get into the greenhouse. And lo and behold, right, what did I hear after that conversation we had? God sent it right on in there, this way. Like, you know, people will come from your past saying that, you know, hey, you remember this? They'll just marinate on that bad boy, stir that pot up. You remember how it used to be when we used to do this and do that? And you're like, uh-huh, well, you know what? And God was like, no. I said, well, you know what? You answered that question so fast that night. You immediately, sorry, guys, my little what's today. But I'm like, you know, you answered that so fast, so quickly, but he will show us immediately. Yeah.
I'm going to call her Sister Logan. Miss Tanya, do you have some feedback? Do you have some comments?
No. I'm just listening and agreeing internally, but yes, most definitely. You know, we people. Ooh, yeah, no. Sometimes we just have to step back. I've heard it, and as Trish was saying, yes, you know, there's something about it, and sometimes we can design it better from other people. And for some reason, we'll turn it off on ourselves. And God is gracious and His mercy keeps us and covers us throughout it all. But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, and you know, I know sometimes we can be a little bit observant, or I guess observant is in the word. I'm a little guarded when it comes to you, because I just want to make sure that, you know, the right person is coming your way. Like Tish mentioned earlier, men know men and women know women. And we can determine, we can kind of scope out real quick when somebody is, you know, don't have the right motives. So I try to step back from that somewhat, but yeah, they just don't have to deal with it when it comes to our family. If you bring them around, we're going to be able to let you know. Yeah, we don't. You may want to hold off on that one right there. But that's what love. That's what family do. Family love. That's family love. We don't. We and not just for us. But still, we want to make sure that you know, the relationships that we may or may not get in are the ones that, you know, that if you can't see something, and God brought you or brought them across our paths so we can at least say something to you where either that green, yellow, or red flag is going to start waving for you so you'll know to ask a little bit more questions in your pursuance or in our pursuance likewise.
I really appreciate it. And to be honest with you, that was the reason why I felt like just being able to have Tisha here for her, for not just for us to have the conversation, but for the audience to hear, because this is something that we all do, but I think a lot of people, they just look at, well, you know, I don't have concerned family members. Well, in actuality, you do, but sometimes our choices are contradicting to the principles or the morals of that family unit. But when you really look back, there are people in your family, if you really look at it and be prayerful about it, and remove pride, remove unforgiveness, the purpose of family, especially those that grew up in church, is so important. And so, like, you know, like you said, us coming from a big family and then primarily, you know, under her parents, and then, you know, your mom played an important part, each one of them. And then, and matter of fact, I was thinking when you were talking, sometimes when we try to hide our hurt, our pain from our relatives, I don't care how you try to hide it, it sticks out like a sore thumb. And I can remember just about every one of my uncles or aunts at some point in my life, maybe I just made some bad choices in days or whatever, but I remember the conversations that each one of them would have. You know, and matter of fact, this was at Nika's wedding, I'll never forget. And I was going through a troubling relationship, and as they were seating the people, the party of the wedding, I said I wanted to sit somewhere just kind of off by myself, because I was not. It was a glorious time, but I just was hurt, and all of a sudden, right, everybody's seat was filling up except for one seat. And I end up having to sit right beside Pastor Logan, Uncle Otis. I'm going to call him Uncle Otis for today. I had to sit by Uncle Otis, and, oh, I had a miserable time. And we were sitting on that front row, and he going to lean up on me. Hey, how you doing, June? I'm doing all right. He said, no, you're not. He said, hey, you got to. Gotta give that to God. Gotta give it to God. Out there. I broke down. But that's love.
Yeah.
That's love, you know. And like I said, that's what family is for. And look here, we all, each one of y'all, if anything happened where June, I need to talk, shoot. I don't care what time it is, my family has the right hand of fellowship to call, to text. I don't care if you need to have a box of Kleenex, some slow phones or whatever, but also the same token, I thank y'all for allowing me to feel that I can have the same thing received. You know, so each one of y'all, and like I said, I think if this episode can help the others to say, you know what, this is a conversation, but we're family. We're family, but most importantly, we're friends. And I hope that, like I said, even just this episode can help bring reconciliation within the families. You know, because time is winding up and life is too short for us to be stressing, for us to hold on to unforgiveness and all this stuff. And yes, I'm having fun with this. Look here. Let me tell you what I had written down. I had one line written down. I just had one line. That was it. But this is just a conversation with family that we love. And I felt that it needed to be put out there for us to be able to let people know, hey, look here, you can court, you can date in a healthy, godly way, and also have some accountabilities within your family. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all. And look here, this was the first episode of us coming together, but it sure won't be the last. I'm gonna get some of my male cousins up here too.
All right, now bring them on, bring them on.
Yes. Now I tell you what I'm gonna do. I don't wanna hold y'all hostage, but I wanna first give special thanks first of all to God for the family that we have, and you know, just looking at, I didn't really know her as far as conversation on as much as maybe some of y'all, Grandmama Letitia, but I do remember I called her right after I had got married in 2005, and she said, baby, Grandmama wanted to come down there. You know, Grandmama hate Texas, but I wanted to come down there, but baby, Grandmama wasn't feeling well. But for her to say that, I was like, Grandmama, you talking about me? I mean, I felt like, to me, that was just like her being there, for her to acknowledge that. And one of the things she told me, she said, baby, make sure that when you get married, make sure you do it for the right reason. Make sure you put God in it. And one of the things I always say, I'm going to put a spin to it, but in the Bible you hear about Jesus being invited to the wedding. But we have to now make sure that he's invited to the marriage.
There you go.
You know, and for us being young people, like I said, to me, we're still kids. I mean, you still there, Christian's still that 14-year-old girl, and me is still that, you know, 12-year-old girl, you know. But that just shows the youthfulness and the love that we all have for each other and this family, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we were together to celebrate Uncle Red, but even in the midst of the sadness, it was still a great celebration, you know. To see people, you know, I'm like, shucks, I stay more standing up and walking around to see people I haven't seen in dog years. And so, to me, that's what my family means to me, you know. So when it comes down to it, you know, for my future wife and spouse, of course, she got to understand, yeah, you meeting me, but you got to meet my family, you know, because my family is dear to me. And also, I realize, it may sound minute, but I realize that I am dear to them. You know,
right.
And vice versa. You know, Tisha, Tisha, you know, we love her, we appreciate her, but I want her to know that she is valued. You know, she's, you know, one of the most eligible bachelorettes down there in California, you know. And you know, even Tanya, I was gonna say media, and even Tanya, you know, one of the most eligible bachelorettes down here in Texas, you know, and so, you know, hi, you know, so we bring a lot to the table, and also, like I said, you all, I appreciate y'all through the years, Tisha being. Our birthday is 2 days apart, and then, you know, meet is Tanya 29 days apart, you know, excuse me, 31 days apart. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, just saturated with love, and I can say this, and it's not being like putting any other family members down or whatever, but we have ladies in our family. We don't have women. Mm-hmm. We have ladies. You know, y'all know how to carry y'allself. You know, I mean, my goodness, y'all know how to dress, y'all know how to conversate, y'all know how to talk, y'all know how to sing. So I appreciate y'all. Like that song says, down through the years, y'all have always been consistent, being loving, but most importantly, no matter what type of conversation we have, regardless if it's silly or serious, somewhere in the long of that conversation, God gonna come up. Your faith gonna be exhibited in that conversation.
You better believe it.
Yes, sir. So what I'm going to do, before we get ready to leave, Tisha, if you don't mind sharing with the listeners, what are you doing, what did you do, and also just in case someone who may want to have a home, maybe up for sale or looking for a home, whatever you want to share, this is your opportunity to at this time. Please share with us.
Okay, well, thank you so much. But I also wanted to say real quick, we really appreciate you too, cousin, as well. You know, being able to call you at any time of the day and have that listening ear, you've been there. And hands down, 1,000%, we really appreciate you for that. Okay, so I am a licensed realtor here in the state of California, so from southern to northern, but I'm located in Southern California. So if anyone that's looking to buy, sell, or even rent a property, please feel free to reach out to me. And I also have a interior decorating and a cleaning service, so feel free to reach out. I'm a Logan. We get busy, baby. We do it all.
Yes,
do it all.
We leave no stones unturned.
Zero.
Yes. So I really, really, really thank you. Thank you, Tish, and also for our co-host, Miss Tanya Logan. Thank you so much. I wanted her so badly just to share it. Now, you know, I know sometimes some people, it may not be their thing as far as being online and stuff, but look here, you did well today. You spoke what the Lord gave you, and I can officially say yes, indeed, you are definitely Sister Logan.
Yes, through and through.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for making me feel comfortable. You know, because I don't know, you and Tish seem to be a whole lot easier with talking and conversating. I do that usually in person, but when I have to be put on a platform, I get a little bit more reserved, but I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be able to, you know, speak of relationships, and not only just our relationship with Christ, but our relationship within the family, and our family being based on Christ and the love of Christ, and being able to be here. I'm just grateful to be here and grateful to be a part of the conversation. I'm great. You know, I feel good when it's family, you know. I know there's no ulterior motive behind anything when it comes to you all. So I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be a part of not just the body of Christ, but also to be a Logan, a part of this Logan family.
And amen, life. Amen, life. I want to we got a few more seconds up. I do want to share this. I thank God, like I said, I thank God for the episode. And just in case someone that may be watching, who may be listening, I want you to know, and I'm praying that God touch the heart of those who may be watching, who may be listening, who need reconciliation within y'all family. I'm praying that God give you the verbiage, give you the patience, give you the love, the assurance that you need, no matter what it looked like, continue to hold them up before God. And just in case someone who may be watching or listening who may feel like they the black sheep of the family. Just in case that person feel like, well, nobody cares for them in the family. Number one, that's a trick of the devil. I want you to understand that everyone is important. And one of the things I found out in the family, in the Bible tells us and teaches us how to choose a spouse, how to choose our friendship, financial planning, even dating regimens, even as far as eating regimens to have a healthy diet. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us or teach us how to choose our family. And we're assigned that particular family for a reason. So don't allow the devil to rob you or deprive you from the family unit that God ordained you to be in. And so, like I said, with this episode, this is so important to me. And like I said, for me to be able to, number one, have Tish on here, and thank you for even agreeing to it, even to have Tonya to call in. And, you know, this is fellowship. And look here, this is just the three of us. These are like my sister cousins. These are my sister cousins. But when we all get together, oh my gosh, it is so fun. It's an enjoyable time. And you can have that in your family too. Somebody got to stand up and intercede for your family. Somebody has to. Now, don't think that our family has been perfect. Don't feel like, well, you know, y'all don't understand. Look here. If it wasn't for Christ being centered in our life, shoot. Look here. We would have caught a case, some of us. But the thing is, even though some may not have operated, but they still family. And don't let anybody put your family down. So I want to encourage someone who may be watching or listening, you hold up your family. And every time you see something that's displeasing, you have something to give to God. You say, God, I see that. That's evidence of what the devil is doing, but that's going to be evidence of what you're going to heal. I want you to pray for your family. Yeah, you can have anybody pray for your family, but are you praying for your family? Are you interceding for your family? And remember this. You were signed there for a reason. Like I said, I can say this now because we're adults now, but me and Sheila used to say all the time, I think we were adopted.
hear ye. Same over here.
Yes. So, but like I said, I really thank God for you all. I appreciate y'all taking out the time to be on here, and this has definitely been enjoyable. And anytime y'all want to get on here, anytime y'all want to come and say to whatever, hey, by all means, I'm going to say like they say, old school, I'm down with it.
Right. We down, too. You know, hey, old school throwback, we down like four flats on the Cadillac, okay?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Like ODB and Mariah Carey said, like me and Mariah, like a baby in a pacifier. Yes. So I thank y'all so much, and I love y'all endlessly.
I hope and pray
that someone that may be watching or listening, they take heed to everything that we said. And just know, yeah, we laugh and we enjoy them, but this is love. This is love, and this
Amen.
Is something that, you know, I know that it will make our parents, it will make our uncles and aunts, it gives life to our uncles and aunts and all that, for them to see that, you know what, that their labor of love was not in vain. You know, everything that they did, you know, was not in vain. And for them to be able to see the fruits of their labor and for them to receive their flowers, that, you know, we can sit up, we can talk, because, shoot, I can't tell you how many times I had to talk to media about, I don't know what I'm going to do. My Friday night conversation with her, I probably was the main one blocking her from having the some of the dates. Yes. But I really appreciate y'all. I love y'all dearly. And like I said, for those maybe watching and listening, just know that I'm praying for you all. Continue to be praying for us, and also for those who are grieving, those who may be going through. There are someone going through right now, going through a divorce. You know, some of them may feel like they don't know what to do. I want to encourage you. Yes, Divorce could be hard, could be difficult, but just know God can help you to overcome.
Amen.
And for you to be healed, for you to be whole, and also especially those who may be having children. Just in case you're a child of, you know, parents going through divorce, I want to talk to that child. Look here, do not blame yourself. Do not feel responsible for the decisions of the grown folks. You are loved. You're not a mistake. I don't care what the devil tried to tell you in your ear. I want you to hear from God's word and God's voice. You're not a mistake. No matter what, know that you are loved, and sometimes you just have to be patient with the parent. Let them get the foolishness out. Let them get their hurt out. When it's all said and done, I'm telling you, God can bring a beautiful rose from some ugly thorns. So I want to encourage you, please, 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 don't give up on God, don't give up on life, and don't give up on yourself. And I want to thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in to Reconnect My Heart, and God bless you. Pray if y'all have a great night, good night rest, and I get a chance to see you again this time.
Amen.
Next Sunday. God bless you, and good night.
Amen. Good night.